So thank you, Edmund, and I think everyone who's been coming to this for years now know that Edmund was not selected. He was coerced, forced, browbeat, any of those words, but selected it might not be the most appropriate word. Right at the start, I'll say presentation of an idea or opinion does not constitute a recommendation or endorsement by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We're all aware of the importance of stored products in the past. Ancient societies stored food. And I think the modern era for world for stored products, or at least stored grain, started from a publication in Australia by Winterbottom called Weevil in Wheat. It resulted from large infestations of wheat being stored in Australia during World War I. Post-World War II, we had specialized federal labs and entomologists at state universities in the USA. There were other research centers as well. As an example, I and Jim Throne are one of the last representatives of the Stored Product Insects Research and Development Laboratory in Savannah, Georgia. Mike's raising a hand. I'm not saying dead. You're still alive. There's a CSIRO laboratory in Canberra, Australia. We had centers in the United Kingdom and Slough and other cities, and a very big Agricultural Canada lab in Winnipeg. During the 1960s and 1980s, we also saw some other advances. We saw the formation in 1965 of the Journal of Stored Product Research. We also saw the formation of the International Working Conference on Stored Product Protection. There was a lot of government funding. It was plentiful. We had large numbers of specialized researchers. And there was really an explosion of knowledge during that time in the 50s and 60s and 70s. It was mostly related to farm stored grain and other bulk storages. And this was our typical experimental unit. It was the grain bin. We were identified as stored grain entomologists, and this was our primary area of research. Well, the 1960s and 1980s were an important time for entomology. It was part of our rich history. Well, you could characterize it as our glory days. Well, what about those days? The glory days are gone. And at this point, I wanted to import the chorus of Bruce Springsteen singing Glory Days. I couldn't figure out how to do that. When I told that to Mike Tay, she said, well, you should have included Dust in the Wind. And both of those would have been appropriate. But we've seen our research centers close. The Savannah lab was closed in the 90s. The Slough lab was closed in about 2000. The Canberra unit was closed in 2007. We've seen staff reduction, scientists moved, reduced funding and emphasis on stored products. Well, what are our current research trends? That's the past. What's going on today? And I want to focus on several areas. We've seen in the last 10 years a lot of research related to grain elevator storage. Those are large structures, much larger than what we're used to dealing with. We've seen increased interest in non-grain areas of store products, mills, food warehouses, grocery stores, pet food stores, urban homes. And what we've seen is movement away from farm store grain as the primary arena for research. And I want to emphasize, this is just not me, it's my colleagues at USDA and all other state universities as well. We've all moved away from the grain bin and getting into other areas. So here, and with the grain elevator as a research unit, what we see is a shift in storage structures such that replicated laboratory tests or nice replicated tests become harder to deal with in these large field structures. Some of the examples of research that we've done in the past, examining insect populations and residual grain in and around elevator silos, movement of phosphine in large silos, that's still primarily concerned with the traditional stored grain beetles. That's the lesser grain borer, the rice weevil, maize weevil, rusty grain beetle, sawtooth grain beetles, all the beetles that we associate with bulk grain. What we've seen more is a shift in research to the mills and warehouses. And there we've also seen a shift in the primary insect pests of the Indian meal moth, the flower beetles, the warehouse beetle, and the cigarette beetle. For the most part, these species are not normally the insects of concern in stored raw grains. And I'll just show some examples of some of the research we're doing. Typical food warehouse with triple stacked shelves, large bulk storages. One of the studies we're doing is sampling Indian meal moths and facilities like this. I just show some of the data for one of our facilities. Again, other entomologists have similar data. This is the number of Indian meal moths trapped inside the warehouse, 52 traps, Indian meal moth on a per day basis. And I want to show this area down here, June 2005. This project was actually started by Mike Taze when he was at our lab. It's a large community food bank. The facility was moved from its existing site over to this new place in May of 2005. And what this graph immediately tells you is they moved the infestation along with the food to the new site. And we see the typical pattern of increased populations inside the warehouse during the summer months. But what we're trying to do now is identify the store product insects as urban pests, as pests that affect the consumer. And this is just one example of the types of studies we're doing. And we're trying to assess populations, and if we get a good handle on the populations, then we may be able to assess efficacy of control strategies. We're doing large-scale field trials with aerosol insecticides in food warehouses. This is just one of my trials in a room inside this facility. So our experimental units have changed, and I think this poses a problem for us in the future because these large field units lead to a more case study type approach. And historically, those types of studies have not been published in the scientific literature. What we see in scientific literature is nice replicated tests. We want studies that can easily be duplicated. Each individual facility is almost its own structure. You have to do it takes a lot of work to conduct a single study in one of these facilities. The research needed for those systems are very different from what was required for farm stored grain. And perhaps the most important thing we need to see is insect populations and finished goods have potential consumer impacts. And I think that's one area that's going to be addressed later on in this talk, and one thing we see in increasing importance in urbanized society. Some of our current limitations, this is not meant to be an exhaustive list, is we've seen really little adaptation of integrated pest management techniques to farm store grain and elevators. We've been talking about sampling for 15 or 20 years now. I remember a conference back in 1989 in San Antonio interpreting insect trap catch. We'll probably be arguing what trap catch means for the next 30 years. But in private industry and actual farm practice, we really see little adaptation of what we call classical IPM techniques. And remember the disclaimer part back in the beginning, this is my personal interpretation. In milling, processing, warehousing, and retail, the attitude is often, I don't have any complaints, therefore I don't have any problems. And what we really see is a lack of knowledge transfer from researchers to user groups. In the past, that has traditionally been filled by university extension departments, and I think now the people doing the technology transfer or knowledge transfer is actually private industry. What do I see for the future? Well, I do indeed think we have a future. I think many of the present trends that we see, the reduced funding, the shifts from farm store grain, are going to continue. I think that's just part of society in general. As we become more urbanized and people become removed from the farm, there's less of an importance on farm agriculture. I don't think this is confined to store products. I think it affects all minor uses of entomology. I think it affects agriculture in general. What I want to know is, where's our bailout? I don't see any talk in the newspapers about bailing out the U.S. agricultural industry like we've done for the AIG and for possibly the auto industry. So what do we see? Well, I think we need to look at some new approaches for the future. And I think we need to change the focus. Remember, the disclaimer is a fundamental shift in the way we approach store product insects. I think we need to identify them as human and consumer pests, not only as agricultural insect pests. And I think we have to emphasize that we conduct research that affects the suburban and urban society. We're not just helping farmers, because farmers are 2% of the American population. And if we say we're going to go out to help the American farmer, I think that's going to hurt our chances in the future. I'm not saying we need to ignore the American farmer, but we need to look at our potential in urban America. Examples of the focus area are, I think we need to get into raw commodities other than wheat and corn. Research with store product insects and habitats in and around elevators, mills, warehouses, and homes is going to become increasingly important. And I really think we need to see store product insects as people pests. We have emerging pests, socids, mites, possibly dromestids. And the key thing is knowledge transfer to industry. How are we going to do that? Well, one example of what we might call a minor use crop is peanuts of the United States. They're no longer on the quota system. The price has dropped and the acreage has doubled in the last 10 years. Storage of peanuts now extends through the summer. Indian meal moth is a primary pest of importance. And just an example, here's what Indian meal moth does, webbing that can create on peanuts. I think even though we're in Manhattan, Kansas, I think there's a growth area for working with stored peanuts. That was part of the research emphasis on the Savannah lab. Since we left, there is absolutely no one working on stored peanuts that I know of in the southeastern United States. This is our traditional store product habitat. We're conditioned to looking at bulk grain. Well, here's another viewpoint of the stored product habitat. Maybe this is the stored product habitat and not the elevator itself. And again, this is admittedly a small town, but that's my point. We need to look at the insects in and around the storage facilities. Here's a large rice mill. Here's the main part of the city. Here's the suburban area. You can see the size of the mill from the cars. This is the insect pest populations in the suburbs here impact the mill and vice versa. We see a lot of transfer of pest. Here's a slide for one of Jim Campbell's studies. Indian meal moth is a people pest. The darker the area, the denser the population. This is the city of Manhattan. Several years ago, a bunch of us participated in studies where we took a trap home to our backyards. It was amazing the number of Indian meal moths that were caught. Here's a typical residential home. It's mine. Yeah, I buy us a trap. I hung it underneath the bird feeder. But this is the number of Indian meal moths I caught during September of last year. 207 male Indian meal moths in the trap. This is a people pest. It's not a grain pest. George will talk much more about socids. We're hearing of increased reports of socids, product returns, interest from the milling and processing industry on socids. Perhaps globally they are an emerging pest, and that's something we need to think about in the future. Where is the growth in store products? Have we done all we can with the Indian meal moth, lesser grain borer, red flower beetle, confused flower beetle? Perhaps looking at socids and dromestids, maybe that's another way we can shift our focus. I'm not saying we've solved all the problems, but I think we need to look at new growth areas, and here is one, socids. I said we've seen evidence of increasing populations. And what we found in the limited studies we've done is they are a lot more difficult to kill with insecticides compared to store product beetles. And I think we're seeing this worldwide. There's a lot of reports out of Australia on the importance of socids and what's happening in their environments. There's differential susceptibility among species. The species change and shift. We don't know why population suddenly increased, perhaps a spike due to relative humidity or rainfall, but we see increasing evidence of SOCETs. Knowledge transfer, I think, is extremely important. Are we answering the relevant questions? Who is transferring knowledge? And I think it's fair to say, don't want to tick anybody off in extension like the next speaker, but for the most part, unless it's a couple of states, it's not extension that's transferring the knowledge. Extension has been gutted like a lot of other areas. Extension specialists may have a 1/10 responsibility in store products. I heard one talk yesterday about how many states have information on their websites about store product insects. Much of that is just recycled from websites of other areas and it's old information. As researchers, do we publish more in trade journals for which we receive no credit, but we may have tremendous potential impact? The average mill manager, warehouse manager might not be reading the scientific journals, but they're reading the trade magazines, they're reading the AIB publications, they're reading pest control technology. And I think we have to do something differently. I don't think we can keep doing things the way we've done them for the last 50 years. Why is it necessary to change? I think we've already seen there's a limited job market for MS and PhD students in post-harvest entomology. With the university system, it's grant-funded research. Graduate students are the main research arm. No job market leads to less students. And so any research we do must be applicable to a larger entomological system. I think that's true of all minor use areas, whether it's livestock entomology, systematics, fruit crops, anything that we associate with minor use. We've got to make sure the students are broadly trained so they can get a job in an area other than which they did their PhD in, because most of us at our lab did not have PhDs in store product entomology. Most of our students that we're associated with are getting jobs in areas other than store product entomology. And the job market for store product entomologists might just be private industry. It might not be ARS and large land grant universities. So in conclusion, I think I've left time for questions or harassment or whatever. I think the downward trend in dollars is going to continue. And I think we need to shift the emphasis and change focus to reflect the needs of an urbanized consumer society. And I think a real good question we have is, who will conduct research in the future with store product insects? And with that, I thank you for your attention. Come back after lunch. I'll be glad to take any questions. Edmund will relay the question so I can repeat them.
So did you worry about your job?
What's that? Are you worried about your job? And can you repeat that question?
The question was, am I worried about my job? After going through what I did last year, I don't worry about anything. No, I'm not worried about my job. Subi raises an excellent question. Who is going to train the next generation of entomologists? How do we recruit them, and how do we help them get jobs? And I think anybody associated with the university has the same question. I don't really have a good answer. I know your students have been pretty successful in getting jobs outside of store product entomologists. I think we have to emphasize more of the broad, big picture approaches with students. With recruiting students, that's another issue. We're having a hard time recruiting students these days. And I think we have to say, maybe we collectively, I'll lump myself in as faculty, have to do a better job of assessing the job market for those students and maybe be more aggressive in helping to promote our students to employers. Yeah, I think in some ways we're seen as, our research is not seen as glamorous. It's not.
That's why I'm asking why. It wasn't glamorous. It's important, but it's not glamorous, right?
Yeah.
It's true. That's part of the problem. We can't glamorize sort of products. We can make it more relevant.
Well, I think the key is to link it in with other areas that are more glamorous or more cutting edge. I mean, I think the red flower beetle is a perfect example of this. There's, you know, a lot more labs this year than last year that are doing work with red flower beetle. It's all fundamental genomics and things like that. But, you know, we can leverage interest in that aspect of it to get people that are doing work maybe outside of traditional sort of product areas, but have information to bring back into it.
Difficult question perhaps is there a need for change of paradigm? Do you need a workforce other than master's and PhD students?
Is there a change of paradigm? Do you need something different than master's and PhD students?
Do we need, the question Chuck asked, we need something different than a master's and PhD? I think we've talked at K-State in the past, and Sue B may be able to answer better than me, a terminal master's program, a non-thesis master's that maybe directs people more into industry rather than toward the traditional MS PhD pathway. Distance education, SUBY's involved in some of the distance education programs. I think that's an important avenue for us to look at in the future. I don't know. And I could raise the same questions for entomology departments at universities that keep getting combined with other departments. Maybe we will in the future be combined with the urban entomologist realm. I don't know. I think one of the issues is I think the farming commodity groups don't seem to have a whole lot of, I don't want to say interest in what we're doing, but we haven't been able to successfully interact with some of the commissions and to raise importance of stored product insects. When the grain elevator takes everything from the farm and there's no penalty or no reward, I think that's part of the issues. And we're not going to change that system. And I guess food safety, if we can ever become successful in seeing stored product insects as impacting food quality, that might be an area where we need to focus on, that we're helping to provide safe quality food for this 98% of our population.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, guys.